Voice of the Cape. Drive time 0829 913 913 is the WhatsApp line. Query, comment and or criticise. Ethiopia's government, under Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed, is carrying out a military offensive in Tigray, which is in the north of the country. A six-month state of emergency has been declared in the region as well. And yes, it is complicated, but we'll try and understand it. But the overriding question is a civil war imminent in Ethiopia, which previously has been wracked by a lot of violence, famine and political instability? We now chat to a PhD research student at the University of Reading, Francesca Baldwin. Francesca, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, what I find interesting reading about what is happening in Ethiopia and trying to understand it is that the Tigray people, and led by the Tigray People's Liberation Front, if I understand it correctly, only comprises 6% of Ethiopia's population, but they feel, since Abiy Ahmed has come to power, that they've been completely marginalized. Am I getting it right?
Yes, that's absolutely right. So the TPLF, or the Tigray People's Liberation Front, are the regional leaders in Tigray, but Tigrayans ethnically make up about 6% of the population of Ethiopia. But up until Ahmed came to power in 2018, they held a significant portion of control within the government federation.
So is the current problems that Abiy Ahmed is experiencing, does it derive itself from the very fact that they feel that Abiy Ahmed has betrayed them by diminishing their political influence? I mean, 6% is a minority, it's not a majority.
Yes, absolutely. And I think to really understand that question, which is a question that a lot of people will be asking, you do have to look back to the civil war that took place between 1974 and 1991, which is my specific area of research. The TPLF led a coalition of liberation fronts to overcome the regime that was ruling Ethiopia at the time, despite being such a small minority ethnic group. And as such, it's left an enduring legacy amongst Tigrayans of their place in the country's history and role in nation building, which accounts for their protest against their political marginalization. And I think it's important to realize that questions of self-determination and right to dictate regional policy are not, they're not abstract issues for elite politicians in Tigray. It's a very tangible question rooted in the history of memory, loss of life, property and disruption of that civil war that was only overcome by a popular movement of the people. So what that means is that Tigrayans are historically a very politically motivated ethnic group with a proud legacy of standing up for what they see as their democratic rights. So it's not so much of a question, I don't believe, of Tigrayans wanting more than their proportional piece of the pie, so much as it is about recognizing the legacy of their country and their role in the nation building that Ahmed has so far been trying to diminish and, in fact, blame the Tigrayans for a lot of problems within the country.
Okay, so you're saying that although the Tigrayans used to have a lot of say in the Ethiopian state, it's not exactly a bad thing, maybe it's not a good thing at the same time, but it was something that perhaps they were accustomed to.
Yes, definitely. And again, it's as you said, it's a very complicated issue, and it's not so much about what's bad and what's good. But what the Tigrayans and the TPLF did when they came to power at the end of that civil war in 1991 is that they set up a multi-ethnic federation that was supposed to represent and reflect the differences of ethnic groups while uniting them. So it wasn't supposed to be about one group losing the others, but about a coalition of groups with reflected differences. Importantly within that was Article 39 of the Constitution that said every regional group had the right to self-determination and should they desire to peacefully succeed from the Ethiopian nation. Now, I don't necessarily think that's what the TPLF are here striving to do, but they do want to make sure that Ahmed does not create a unitary government in which they don't play a political part.
Now, how big or how small is the issue of ethnicity in Ethiopia? We've seen it playing a huge role in Sudan, particularly in the western Darfur region, and in South Sudan as well. How big is this ethnic, quote-unquote, question in Ethiopia, which is a big country? People always underestimate the size of it. And people also underestimate the sophistication of many members of the Ethiopian population. And, of course, it's the fact that it's a big territory, a lot of people and a lot of views.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think something that is often forgotten when we talk about Ethiopia is that Ethiopia is one of only two countries on the continent of Africa that was never colonized. And I think it's fair to say that successive governments in the 20th century in Ethiopia have encouraged a kind of myth of 3,000 years of Ethiopian history, and lots of Western historians and journalists have very much uncritically accepted that. But in fact, the basis of Ethiopian unity, as it were, has not really been the unified character of its people so much as it has been a region between colonies of Europeans. So the Amhara people then were able to colonize that for themselves, and it became what we know today as Ethiopia. But Ethiopia is made up of very, very diverse peoples who take a great deal of pride in their ethnic divisions. And when the TPLF came to power in 1991, that wasn't necessarily something that they tried to shy away from. As I said, it wasn't a barrier to creating this trans-ethnic federation. It was supposed to be a core part of it. But it was actually the historian John Young, in his seminal writing on the war, which is a very good read if anybody is interested in learning more about the Civil War, that contrary to assumptions, forced centralization of ethnic groups can actually worsen ethnic conflict, as ethnicity becomes a product of competition between elites for power in the state, and centralization encourages alienated individual politicians to raise demands on ethnic grounds. So ethnicity becomes something that can be understood and appreciated to something that is incredibly divisive.
It's interesting, and I'm glad you've made the point that Ethiopia is one of the few African countries, two of them, that actually was never colonized. So how else does this play into the country's political narrative? When one looks at Ethiopia, one sees that it's got its own identity. I'm not saying it in a patronizing way. I mean, Ethiopians know that they're Ethiopians. They're not Ethiopians talking Italian or Algerians. You have to talk French. They are Ethiopians talking their own languages and abiding by their own cultures.
Yeah, and that's something really important, as you say, in the country's narrative. And we see that now probably more so than ever before in the rhetoric that's coming out of Tigray in the northern state, where they're saying, we will not kneel, we have never knelt. They're acknowledging that they have never bowed to imperial suppression, as it were, and that they have had a history of standing up for what they see as their own identities, democratic rights, and they are going to deploy that on both sides, I imagine, to say that Ethiopia is a country where the people have been the ones to dictate policy, and that is something they will want to preserve and draw on in this military crisis.
Has Abiy Ahmed been an architect here of his own, not downfall, but of his problems? Because he started off in such a promising fashion, or at least to us from the outside, in such a promising fashion. Why is he so keen, it seems, to marginalize the people of Tigray?
Yeah, and he absolutely did come to power on this wave of promising reforms, but some of which were initially implemented and had a great impact on the country. But one thing to really recognize is that Tigray is, and the TPLF are probably the most well-organized ethnic group that are opposing Ahmed, but they are not the only ones. And there have actually been ethnic divisions in the rest of the country as well, specifically in ethnic Oromos, which is the prime minister's own ethnic group, specifically following the assassination of a popular singer there in June. And then the Oromo Liberation Front actually engaged with clashes with the government, in which between 200 to 400 people were killed. So Ahmed has had to respond to opposition from other ethnic groups as well, and he hasn't necessarily dealt with that in the most open way. In recent days, we've seen that he's removed a number of key military leaders, key political leaders, seemingly without a proper inquiry. And this operation against the North does very much seem to be with the cause of stamping down opposition under the name of law and order, and not having open dialogue and discussion about the issue at hand, which is predominantly about the nationwide elections that were cancelled in August.
Isn't that part of the issue, the fact that because of COVID, or that's the political reasoning for it, that elections have been, well, you say the word cancelled, maybe they've been postponed, I don't know. Because of COVID-19, that would have been very difficult to have held them. How does that play into what we're discussing?
Yes, absolutely. And you were absolutely right. The word postponed would have been a much better one to have used. Cancelled is, in fact, the word that is being used by a lot of the ethnic groups who are criticising that move. And I would say that there have been elections in other countries. Ahmed has cited it as the reason for postponing the elections. But unfortunately, there have been criticisms by other ethnic political groups in Ethiopia that this is not a substantial reason and that there were moves to do so before the pandemic really took hold. So they are questioning it. And the problem, I think, really comes down to the limited amount of dialogue that's going on in an open forum, which leads to these rumours and hearsay and, in some instances, fake news that we're seeing circulating on social media about the decisions that have been made within the government.
Has Abiy Ahmed turned into yet another African leader who flatters only to deceive?
Quite possibly, but he has his own legacy of peace. He created peace with Eritrea, for which he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2018. So it is a very complicated issue, and it's difficult to undo his political legacy with this recent attack on the Tigray, without being a fly on the wall, as it were. But again, the problem comes down to the information that we are receiving does lend us to believe that there is this atmosphere of mistrust of Ahmed within his government and among people within Ethiopia.
What is the solution to the problem we're discussing here? You also mentioned the Oromo people also having their problems, Tigray as well, up in the north. Is it a political solution and Abiy Ahmed is looking for a military one? Because I honestly can't see the army solving his problems with the people of Tigray, because as you so correctly point out, or there might be a small group, but this is a people who are used to resisting. They're used to having their say, and I doubt whether they are going to ever be the ones to back down.
Yes, exactly. And the solution is be as complicated as the problem. Ahmed today has rejected the opportunity for peace talks that were going to be organised by the African Union, but equally I don't believe that the TPLF were likely to have made a short bargain when the problems are much more profound. So the only solution, well, first and foremost, has to be a ceasefire to protect the people on both sides from any further loss of life and destruction of property. But one significant thing that I think Ahmed could consider doing is reopening some of the media outlets that were closed and allowing that transfer of information to promote an open discussion in which dialogue can be shared amongst both sides, rather than this climate of silence and quick knee-jerk decisions that are very difficult to unravel from a political perspective.
Where do you think it's all going to go? Because it doesn't look very encouraging right now. And it saddens one to see a leader who started with so much potential, as you correctly said, Abiy Ahmed, he brokered a peace deal with Eritrea, something that had been fizzing on, bubbling on for so many years. He got that done only to trip over his own people, as it were.
Yes, absolutely. And I would like to be wrong and say that there is not a civil war approaching. But I am a historian, and I'm a historian of civil war, and the signs are, I would say, pointing in that direction. One of the biggest concerns I have is that in the civil war of the 1974-1991 civil war, there was an influx of Tigrayan refugees into Sudan. And as everybody knows, there was a significant famine during that time. And today we've seen 6,000 Tigrayans flee into Sudan once again, forming a refugee camp there, and the region is currently cut off from aid. So there is another looming humanitarian crisis to be considered, as well as a military one.
Let's hope it can become a peaceful solution. Ethiopia doesn't deserve it. Francesca Baldwin.
It does not.
Yeah. PhD, a research student, University of Reading. Thanks for chatting to us about Ethiopia, and good luck with your PhD.
Thank you very much.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.